Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 12, the Beatitudes. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 5, in verse 3, Beatitudes, poor in spirit. Let's read that verse. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. There are two important words in that passage, blessed and poor. Blessed, makarios, means to be fully satisfied or to be happy. Not because of circumstances, but the indwelling of Christ. Happiness is due to favorable circumstances. Blessed is only the result of Christ's presence. The experience of being blessed can grow as the conditions of each of the Beatitudes are fulfilled. The word translated poor is the Greek word takos, to be helpless. It is helpful to compare it to another word for poor, the Greek word penes. The penes is poor, but can work for food. The takos must beg to get food. The penes can help himself through labor. The takos is helpless. The penes has nothing extra. The takos has nothing at all. Takos describes complete helplessness. And Jesus indicated that the kingdom of heaven is reserved for those who are takos in spirit. To be justified before God, you must realize that you are helpless to accomplish a good standing before him on your own. This is the heart that is pleasing to God. Where in God's word can we see an illustration of this quality of being poor in spirit? Well, if you turn to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 down to verse 14 is where we can look. In this story, Jesus provides a clear picture of one who is poor in spirit. He illustrated it with the contrasting attitudes displayed by two men, a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. It begins in verse 9 of Luke chapter 18. He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You go to verse 10. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. They begin on an equal standing, but their prayers revealed the true attitude of their hearts. First, there's the Pharisee, verses 11 and 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This guy, he basically prayed to himself, not really to God. He expressed thanks that he was not like others. He compared himself to the tax collector who was right there with him. He bragged about his personal spiritual disciplines, his fasting, his tithing. Oh, God should be proud to have him on his team. And then second, there's the tax collector, the other man. Verse 13, and the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He stood back from where the Pharisee was. He wouldn't look up because of conviction of sin. He beat his chest, begging for God's mercy for his sin. God could not possibly want him on his team, but Proverbs 15 and verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. How did Jesus evaluate these men? By two attitudes and their results. Seeking righteousness by personal effort results in remaining unjustified. Verse 14, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. He who humbles himself will be exalted. Why is that? Our best efforts fall short. Isaiah 64, verse 6, but we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And yet, 1 John 5:13 says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Righteousness, listen, righteousness is imputed to believers by Jesus Christ. The Pharisee thought that he pleased God. The tax collector knew he was a sinner. And viewing your righteousness as more than others results in being humbled. Verse 14 again. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Our problem is we cannot trust our heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? There's another example in Matthew chapter 19. Beginning at verse 16 down to verse 22. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Pride is a great roadblock to becoming poor in spirit. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. King Nebuchadnezzar's great fall because of his pride. No city approached Babylon in its beauty and magnificence. Listen to the record in Daniel chapter 4. Verse 28 down to verse 33. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking about the royal palace of Babylon. The king spoke, saying, Is not this great Babylon? For I have built for a royal dwelling. That I have built for a royal dwelling by my mighty power and for the honor of my majesty. While the word was still in the king's mouth, a voice fell from heaven. King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. The kingdom has departed from you, and they shall drive you from men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make you eat grass like oxen, and seven times shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he chooses. That very hour, the word was fulfilled concerning Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from men and ate grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. David, on the other hand, had the right heart before God. Psalm 51, verse 17. After his sin with Bathsheba and trying to deceive the nation and killing her husband Uriah to try and cover up the child that they had together, when he was confronted, Psalm 51 tells David's heart, how he responded. Psalm 51, verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Pride gets in the way of effective ministry. The only way a person can receive the kingdom of heaven is by acknowledging his or her personal spiritual helplessness, a lost sinner, and ask for help, salvation through forgiveness. You have a great day.